everybody, and welcome to the Theatre Pitch Podcast. This is the podcast where us three theatre makers take a random online encyclopedia article and each of us pitch how we would turn it into a theatre show. Then, at the end of the podcast, we take all three ideas, we smush them into a mega one, and you listening at home get to choose which you think is best. My name is Jem. This is Sean.
We started. Hello.
Yes, Sean, we
Did
have
I feel
started.
Like that start just came out of nowhere.
and this is Joe.
Hi, I'm aware we've started as well.
Yeah. There you go. Now we're all aware that we've started. So Joe, what is this week's article?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Jem.
We've gotten so narrative right now.
Last week we put into the randomizer on our online encyclopedia and pulled out the TVR T400R. The TVR T400R is a British GT racing car. It is, in the late 1990s, the successful Tuscan Challenge Race series was in need of updating, and Peter Wheeler began the project that would fulfill his ambition to see the TVRs at Le Mans. Work began on a completely new racing car that would be built using modern composites, be more rigid than any previous TDR, and be, did you tell me it was CAD designed last week?
Yes.
And be CAD designed to reach speeds of in excess of 200 miles per hour, brackets 322 kilometers per hour, and be stable. The car itself will be a steel tubular frame with a full roll cage forming the backbone to a unique carbon fiber monocoque. I'm assuming that's how that's pronounced.
Yeah.
By 2000, work was well underway on the carbon fiber Tuscan R GT car. So I've established it's a car, yeah?
The racing
car. Yeah, it's a car.
So I'm just going to ask, do you two understand? I'm not going to ask them fully what it is, because that would require looking at another Wikipedia page and that's breaking the rules. But do you two know what a monocoque is?
It's a part of the car.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that, but do you know which part?
I couldn't.
The red part.
Oh.
You can just say no if you don't know.
I believe
it's part of the chassis. I can't say chassis.
Part of the what, sorry?
Say it again, Sean. Say it again.
Part of the what?
It's weird because I only ever hear that word being said on Formula One. I don't think I've ever said it out loud. It wouldn't come out.
Part of the chassis, Sean.
The chassis. The bit where the wheels are near.
I have to say, I found this the most unsatisfying article ever. I was so irritated by it because it's kind of like, it literally starts with the second or third sentence that Joe just said. Like, even you felt compelled to give it an introduction. This Wikipedia article, like, wasn't so much as informative as it's clearly written by a fan who's, like, come in and assumed a base knowledge. It doesn't even tell you that it's a car. And then, and then like, anything like, oh, it featured in the 2006 Le Mans series, they haven't even bothered to link out to what the hell that is. And it's a shoddy article. I'm going to be honest. Sorry to whomever wrote it.
Come on.
But try harder.
Let's get into it. Some more facts about it. Manufacturer, TVR. Production, 2000 to 2004. 7 produced. Class, race car. Body style, 2-door coupe. Layout.
I will say, in defense of the Wikipedia article, it does say a couple of times that it is a racing car. And I know what you mean. It doesn't say it quite early on. But there is a big picture of a car on the wick. It's definitely not a duck.
I will be honest. If you didn't get that it's a car, like, that's impressive.
No, I get that. I get that. But it's one of those things where, like, in its writing, I don't know if you've ever had conversations with car people where it's like super technical and they are clearly very passionate about what they're talking about, but like they don't slow down, they don't realize that they're using a load of jargon and like coming in like right in the middle of the story with no exposition and no ability for you to go, what is happening? I mean, even the guy Peter Wheeler not linked out to anything. Not even like one of those links that's like, hey, we acknowledge that this should be a link, but the Wikipedia article doesn't exist. I was very unsatisfied by this article.
I mean, I do see what you mean, that like this article kind of almost point blank refuses to adhere to the standard like structures of the random online encyclopedia articles.
Exactly.
But in that way, it was almost kind of fun, because it was almost like a little challenge trying to work it out.
So, Joe's not a car person, just in case anybody is under the assumption.
What do you mean I'm not a car person?
I mean, maybe you are, and you hide it very, very well.
Hey, I have a car. I'm legally allowed to drive it.
Well done.
I'm a very good driver. I've never had any points on my license.
I good driver.
Yeah. I always follow the speed limits.
Do you count sticks as well?
What?
What?
Do you count toothpicks as well?
I don't get that.
Oh, she's making a Rain Man joke. Okay.
I good driver.
Yeah, but I'm aware of that joke, but I've not actually seen that film, Jem.
Nor have I, but I'm aware of the joke.
Yeah. It's a thing in the film. He keeps saying, I'm a very good driver.
No, he's not a very good driver. He's a good driver. Oh. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
You say it's wonderful. You've never seen it, Jem.
I've seen the clips. I've seen all of the clips. And I did actually see the film like as part of my sixth form studies. But that was a longer than I'd care to admit time ago.
But hey, look, we're talking about something that's not this film.
We're
talking about a film that's not this car. Who's got an idea for talk about car play?
Sean has been silent for a while. So Sean, tell us your pitch.
Yes.
Tell us about car play.
I shall tell you about the car. So, first problem with this article, it's a race car. It's a sport, basically, which, as I probably said it before, I don't like doing articles about live sport because live sport is better than anything I could come up with. So I needed to think of something else. Then, like, oh, I've got a car. Because normally, if I get an object, I'm like, it's in the object. I'm performing in. It's around it. That's what I'm doing. So I had to think of something else. So I was reading it, and we got to Le Mans. Le Mans. And there's only one thing that, like, I like motorsport. But when I say I like motorsport, I mean I watch Formula One. And sometimes I watch the Red Bull Soap Race, which isn't motorsport, but it's pretty close. So I was like, Le Mans, what do I know about Le Mans? I know it's an endurance race. I know that famously it's a 24 hours endurance race. So in my head, I had the number 24. So I was like, okay, maybe it's an endurance performance.
Ooh.
But then I was like, but what's it going to be about? So this is my idea. It's for anyone, but I feel like it's going to be for motorsports people. I am going to do two 12-hour performances over a weekend in the Silverstone pit lane.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know what a pit lane is, Joe?
Yeah, it's the kind of like bit where they fix up the cars mid-race.
Yeah, so...
Good.
I know this because I've watched Fast and Furious 9 recently, Sean.
Okay,
come on.
So I'm going to describe it. You've basically got an extra lane, usually the main straight, and on that straight you've got garage, 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 garage. I am going to take 12 of them garages, and in each one, we're going to start on hour one, and then go to hour two, and go to hour three. Basically, we'll start 12, and then we'll make our way down over 12 hours, relay performances. We'll do it twice. And each one is a different car, and it's a story. It's a special part of that car's history. Because there's a lot of, you buy your first car, you've got memories of that vehicle. People have that for race cars. So for this car, the TVR, obviously that can be in the garage, and it can be like, oh, I need, it can be like the origin of that car. So you know, he's saying, oh, I need a car that needs to do this, needs to be this, and it needs to be that, and we're going to do it CAD. Why don't we retell that story in the garage? Like, they can, we can have a combination of like performers, like proper actors, and like a couple mechanics in there. So you've got like they're acting, but then you've also got like someone working on the car as well. So I've gone with that, and the reason why I've done it in Silverstone. Silverstone has a museum on site, so it's got a ton of you've got classic cars. It's got a ton of nice Formula One cars. It's got I think it's got like the classic McLaren car where it's like the blue before they put the red in it. Like the, who's I think it was Damon Hill's. No, I'm thinking Williams. Sorry. Oh, sorry. They got Damon Hill's. The blue and the yellow, and I think they have got the like the old looking McLaren where it's like white and red, so you can have some of them. You got some bikes, so it's gonna be that. So it's a endurance performance because I got the 24 in my head, over 12 garages over 2 days, and it gives it. You know, you don't have to be at all of them. Because you might just be interested in, oh, I like that car, that car, that car. It's a good chance to be, you know, in an area that, if you're a motorsport fan, you've seen loads of times. You've seen that space. You've seen every part of that space, but you don't get the opportunity to inhabit it. So I'm going with that. And also, the also reason why I've got pit lane, because it's actually really good for a performance because of the way the garage is. You've essentially got a ton of proscenium arches that you could go down, and you've got plenty of space for audience to gather around, and you can go, yep, that's my idea. Boom.
Cool.
Thank you.
Okay, I do have one first question. So what is CAD?
What is CAD? Computer aided design.
Thank you. Yep. Okay.
There you go. I quite like it. I think logistically it would be a nightmare, but I think that it could be something that is quite powerful to the people, you know, especially the people who have those attachments to those cars. And
that's why I put it at Silverstone, because to aid that logistically, because the cars are already there.
Yeah.
I just need to move them from one room to another.
He says, like, it's so easy.
But you could have it all set up because all you have to do is open that garage door, and then we're good to go, and it closes again. So then when on the Saturday you do your first hour slot, that opens, that hour slot ends, and the next one opens next to it. The people in here could be changing it around, and you've got a day, so you could have 12 separate theatre crews, smaller crews, and they've got a whole day to switch.
Yeah. No, you'd imagine they were just switching the car, really.
Yeah, but you could do a bit more, but you're switching the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if there's one thing I know about it, it's most kind of cars like that are only two-seaters. So you couldn't fit a big crew in the car.
In the car?
Yeah. Aren't most, like, kind of race cars two-seaters?
Why would they be in the car?
Jem said they would switch in the car.
They're switching out the car. They're going to switch out the car. So I'm doing 12 cars on the first day and then 12 cars on the next day.
Oh, she was on about switching out the cars.
Yeah.
Not the crews switching out in the cars.
No.
Oh, okay.
Although, Joe, if you were doing an endurance race, you probably would be doing that. You probably would have about 3 or 4 different drivers who would switch out in the car.
Okay. Yeah,
but they aren't in the car like a clown car. They are just swapping.
To be fair, you've got to have extra cars backed up in case like your lead car gets destroyed by a blue shell.
Yeah.
I know these things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
That's a reference to something. Only you two guys were there.
You ask Joe, hey, Joe, what's your favourite racetrack? He'll say Rainbow Road.
No, I was actually going to say DK Parkway.
Yeah. Where you ask a normal person, they'd say like, oh, I quite like Monza or Silverstone or Brands Hatch. I don't get why Brands Hatch is in my head, but it
I do actually have an answer for my favourite racetrack, which, okay, if you want to, I can get into it in my idea.
Go on.
Wow.
So,
Segway. You know. I'm just going to hold on. I'm just going to pause the podcast to be like, Joe is amazing at segues. So much so that I have now just obliterated that segue. But well done, Joe.
Yeah, continue. But much like that segue, we're going from two wheels to four wheeled vehicles, namely cars. Less good, but it worked. So my idea took root in a couple of things. Number one, the picture of the TVR T400R is in the article. Is from Donington Park.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't realise it was a racetrack. I knew it as the place where Download Festival is held.
Okay.
Okay.
I've been to Download and I didn't realise I was at a racetrack at the time.
You just thought, this queue's going a really weird direction, isn't it?
Well, I just assumed...
You're in a bit of a circle.
I just assumed it was like, you know, kind of grounds of a nice house or something.
Okay.
Fair enough. Okay.
But so I'm putting that one out there. And my other thing is my other two parts of my idea. One, the TVR T400R pictured as it does looks a little bit like Lightning McQueen from the Cars series to me.
Yes.
My third thing is it specifically says 7 of these cars were produced. 7 is, of course, a lucky number relating to the 7th son of the 7th son bringing good luck in a biblical sense.
Okay.
So, and okay. I
you're
could
about
be...
to do, you're about to say you're gonna, I'm gonna do the Easter story in a car at Donington Park.
I wasn't fully, but my thinking was, I'm right in saying in a lot of sport that various people have like superstitions and like lucky kind of like totems or stuff. Like, I think I've heard, haven't I, about kind of sports people who will have, say, one pair of socks that are the only pair of socks they will wear on days when they're racing or whatever, and if they aren't wearing those socks they believe they will lose.
Superstition's
heavy.
I kind of wanted to do something about those superstitions and doing it in the form of a kind of, sorry to say it, Sean, but a Starlight Express-esque rock opera set to the various, like, heavy metal music that you might normally hear, because for the local, like, theatre spotlight, this is a performance that will be taking place using the racetrack during Download Festival.
Okay.
And it's going to be a heavy metal rock opera based around superstitions in the world of racing, starring a fleet of talking cars.
I'm there.
I want to do like a big kind of, like, you know, we've discussed before, those big arena style shows like a Batman Live or a Fast and Furious Live. Yeah. Very specifically Fast and Furious Live here, obviously, because cars. But I want it to be that they're basically like, they have kind of big eyes operated on like the windshields kind of and stuff.
Wait. So it's not like people dressed as cars. It's legit cars.
No. It's actual cars being essentially puppeted and then songs played while there's also races happen. And there's a kind of story in between about like the main car who's lost his lucky set of dice that are always set to a number 7.
And a car's visually close to something like Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Herbie, but with races.
And of course, we're going to have guest appearances by the one and only greatest living car of all time. Who am I talking about, Sean?
Greatest living car of all time.
Brum,
obviously.
Yeah. Brum will turn up at the end with the dice to the sounds of Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden.
I absolutely... You, Oh, bring Brom. Oh my God, yeah. Brom. I love it.
Jem hasn't got Jem, you know who Brom is, don't you?
I don't know who Brom is, but I am a fan of performances that make me question if I've been spiked or not. And I think you nailed it.
Basically, Brom was a car that was alive. It was
in real life, or is this like film?
It was alive. It was a kids' TV series. It was set in Birmingham, and Brum kind of had like a chitty chitty bang bang like old style car look, didn't he?
Okay.
He used to blow my mind as a kid because I'd be watching Brum and I'd be like, "Oh my God, I think I know that bridge." I think I've been there.
Basically, Brum was kind of like Hustle was before it. But it's where Hustle. You were watching it and you're just like, I've been there.
You know, as a kid when you watch TV and it's like the world and you're like, oh, it's just a completely different world. And then Brum goes to like the Sea Life Centre. You're like, what? I know that canal.
But yeah, no, so
You had me at Brum. But yeah. You had me before that, but Brum was just like, take my money.
I don't know. I feel like I've just blacked out, and like you know when you're kind of tired and like you start to nod off, and but you're in the middle of like a lecture or something, and like your dream logic, which is like obsessed with pugs and slinkies and stuff, just like melds and like confuses your interpretation of what the person's saying. I feel like I've just done that, because cool, go for it. Sure.
In my head now, Brum's got like a subplot where like some bad guy has stolen the checkered flag and he has to go get the checkered flag to save, because you can't finish the race if there isn't a checkered flag.
But that's the kids' version of this show. Yeah.
But also, is it the red flag or the black flag that means like stop, get off the course or something?
Red flag is when they're stopping the race, they're suspending the race. It usually comes out whether if it's pissing it down, or
if somebody's had a big crash.
Black flag is you get given a black flag if you
pulled a foul,
if you've done something wrong. And then you get one of them, and then there's a black and white flag, I think, if like you've been a dick for too long and you're disqualified, I think.
Yeah. What I was gonna say was I think we could have a chase scene with the bad guys trying to get away with the checkered flag and Brum chasing them, but the bad guys have also stolen the rest of the flags. So Brum keeps following them, and they keep waving the disqualified flag at Brum, so he has to pull over to the side. And all of this will be soundtracked by the band Black Flag.
Oh, can you do a bit in the chase scene where there's a yellow flag in Sector 1, where they all have to slow down to a certain speed because there might have been a crash, and he'll follow the rules?
Yep.
And then there's a bit like, green flag, okay, let's go.
What's the safety car? Joe doesn't know what a safety car is, so he won't be able to answer this.
Car is going to be Herbie, but specifically Herbie from Herbie Fully Loaded.
It's going to be Joe on a Segway.
Okay.
It's going to be me, dressed as Diddy Kong, driving in his car from Mario Kart Double Dash.
Yeah, okay, so this is a show that's blurb is going to be difficult to write.
What have you got about?
I mean, it's very clear. I think it's pretty clear how you sell it. It's just like, you're at Download Festival anyway. Do you want to go and see a rock opera with Brum?
Imagine like, being... you're at Download Festival, but you don't want to do the drugs? That's fine, we'll give you the same experience, without the drugs.
What drugs?
What do you think goes on at Download Festival? We're all straight edge.
What do you think goes on at Download Festival?
Music, good times.
The Beatles.
The fucking Beatles. It's a heavy metal festival, Jem.
I know that you think there are no drugs at.
No, we all live on only the one true high. The high of a good guitar solo.
Oh, uh-huh. And that.
The healing power of rock.
Okay. And the second good high is white chocolate lion bars.
You and your obsession.
You know what I was just thinking earlier? It's funny you bring up white chocolate lion bars again, Sean, because I was thinking, considering the effort, I'm sure you've mentioned them in a previous podcast. I was just thinking, especially this week, it's funny how much work I put into trying to not say the names of the free online encyclopedia that we use. Considering this week, we've said the name of a car brand like 50 times already.
Your obsession with not mentioning brands is borderline, like...
And yet I will still happily talk about Lego Racers. No end.
That game, Gemma. I don't even. That game. That game was like.
It's so good.
Okay.
Do you remember in the space one where if you timed it right, you could take the shortcut through the wormhole thing?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh my! What a game! What a game!
Anyway, a podcast.
Gem. Yeah, I was about to say. Before Sean and I just turn this into a Lego Racers podcast, do you want to do your idea?
Yes, let me try and remember.
But also bear in mind, Sean has somewhere to be in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. And I like the way that you guys were like, oh, we've got a deadline today. Gem, don't speak that much. And I was like, okay, cool. And you guys have come in. It's been, what, nearly 40 minutes?
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah. Okay, so my idea, I was really taken by...
Hurry up, Jem!
My idea is a theatre show. Ta-da!
Okay, well, you're already beating us too. At least you put it in a theatre.
Wait, so... no, we don't know yet. Okay. This might be Jem's idea to just strap a GoPro to a car.
It's just Top Gear. No, so I was really taken by, this idea that it very much, this whole article seems like it's definitely just a fan writing about it, so it kind of comes in at the middle of something. B, it's got a load of technical references through, you know, the chassis and the way the car is actually built and how that was a technical achievement. And see, this car was designed to go to the Le Mans series, which the series, I did kind of have to sit there and I did cheat and look up what the difference between the Le Mans series and Le Mans 24 is. And usually the Le Mans series is what you do in order to qualify whoever wins the Le Mans series, which is a few weeks, or months actually. You automatically get qualified into race at the Le Mans 24 endurance race. So I was kind of looking at it and I was like, well, what's the most interesting way of doing this? What's most interesting about experiencing a race? And so my idea is thus so. It is set in a garage. TVR is actually, was the underdog at the 2006 Le Mans series, which is what they actually entered the TVR into and this and the T4, the 400T into. And TVR is, at the time, was like the underdog. It was like the British representation of motorsport. And there are it's basically two guys in a garage in Blackpool. And so I want to go into just your average, like, mechanics garage, right? The guy who has basically converted a car garage, the back of his house into a garage, right? I want it to set there, and I want it to be that throughout the performance, you have on the radio the commentator of the 2006 Le Mans series race that this TVR was in, that the T400R took part in. And I want it to be that you as an audience, I'm not explaining this well because you guys have put pressure on me. I'll start again. So as an audience, you go to this garage, right? You're in, it's a straight up play. No, what?
You say we put pressure on you. The pressure to do what? Your bit of the podcast.
No, you said talk. You said make it condensed, and therefore it's exploded.
Can I just check something? When you say is the garage on stage, or are we in like a garage?
No, we're in a garage. Okay. It's site specific.
Cool. I'm just
checking. It's site specific. We're in a garage, and it is an end-on play. So we're using the garage. Sean really stole my idea in using the garage as a proscenium arch. But you encounter this older guy who is building a car, right? And he's working on this car and tinkering it. And then there is a kid, right? Like a 9-year-old boy or a 9-year-old girl, even better, who comes in, and they are like, you know how a kid, when they're in the throes of a fandom, they've come in and they are fanning over the latest, like, greatest mechanical things that we've got within the motor industry. And I wanted to sort of, because like these cars at the time were great and they were revolutionary, but now they are not. And I really wanted to tell the story of this guy and this mechanic, this older gentleman, who was one of the mechanics who designed the T400R. His fandom meets the fandom of the kid. And I want to sort of tell that story of how, like, through something like motorsport, you can build the generations. But he's tinkering on the car at the same time. I kind of want to reveal at the end as to which car, because like the TVRs were really known for being like super flashy, and their liveries were always like super flashy. So I kind of want some sort of flashy reveal of like what car he's actually working on, like when he puts on the hood cap or something like that. I don't know. But throughout this whole thing, they are listening to the 2006 Le Mans race in the background as well. And hopefully, because I haven't managed to sit and find that commentary, hopefully it was an exciting race. But I do know that it was the first time that the Le Mans series was won by a diesel.
But Jem, how would you know that? That wasn't in the article.
This is the first time I had to go and do more reading, because I got really annoyed that I didn't follow the conventions in like giving me information. But I did, like, if you think about it, I've stuck to the article in being that like you are dealing with the language of fandom, you're sitting there with mechanics, and you've got the freaking race in the background. And like, it's this idea of that you're building something to build a dream. Like, he's maybe building a kit car that has always been his dream. You know, one of my dream cars is a spider, which is a kit car. So,
no, Gem, a spider is an animal.
Yes.
Does it mean site specific? I'm nitpicking. I like it, yeah. But I just don't. I just think you could do it in a theater.
My big thing, and like this was like I get that. The smell of a garage is very specific, and like the idea that like these two could get into the car and drive it away, like for me it was one of those things of that, and I just prefer site specific. But you're right, it could go into a theater. It probably fits better in a theater. Fine, it'll go in a
and
theater.
it'd be easy to tour, because you could just put everything in the boot and drive it straight out the theatre.
Yeah. So yes, right. Jim, we're at the part. Like any other questions?
I get what you've done. I get you. You found a story there. I get it. Yeah. I like it. Cool. I like it. It's not very eco though, is it? I just thought about all of our shows. Not very. I just realised when Jem's like, yeah, it was the first diesel, and we're going to highlight it.
No, this car wasn't diesel.
Okay, I've officially changed my idea to be it will only be featuring electric cars. And there will be a big dramatic point in it where it's revealed that the nearest charging point is just too far away to get to.
Do you know what? That Can we just acknowledge something at the end? I've just thought about it. You know the end of Starlight Express? Right.
Can I say something now, Sean? I've never seen Starlight Express. Right.
Nor have I.
Okay. So I've just I don't know why I've not picked, maybe I have and I've just forgot it. Right. So the whole story of Starlight Express is like the diesel train, the steam train and the electric train are gonna race. Right. And the underdog is the steam train, right? The diesel train is a bit of a dickhead. The electric trains come in like David Bowie and he's like, oh, look at me. I light up because I'm electric. That's basically the thing. And it ends with somehow the crappy steam train has won. And the other trains, the diesel train wants to be converted to steam. And the electric train has seen the error of his ways and wants to be a steam train. I'm just looking back now. It's like, oh, no wonder global warming took over.
I have to say, just as a comment for all of the train nerds out there, where is the maglev? I'm not going to explain that. That's purely a little Easter egg for anybody who is a train nerd. I am a by proxy train nerd, so.
And therefore, I'm going to throw in a little Easter egg for the people who are listening to this specifically to hear me talk about Download Festival, Pig Destroyer.
My God. Yeah, and for the people that like the things that I like, here's an Easter egg for you.
Sean, for the people who listen to you for your contribution, what was your Easter egg?
What was my Easter egg?
Yeah, what type of chocolate egg did you get?
What? What type of chocolate egg do you think I got?
Was it a lion bar?
No, it was dairy milk. It was white chocolate. Do you reckon they do white chocolate lion bar?
Well, I wouldn't know, but I feel like if you were to get hold of one, Sean, you'd be smushing that straight into your face.
Thank you. There it is. We've got the segue into the smush. I like it.
Still have the wrapper on it. I'd be like...
So we have got Sean's endurance performance that happens at Silverstone over two 12-hour performances and 12 garages with 12 different cars, which means 24 instances to engage with the car. We've got Joe's thing that is Download Festival with cars that are actually electric animatronics with,
it's a rock opera and stuff. Based around electric cars and superstitions in racing and a car trying to look for its lucky dice.
Okay. And then we've got my...
I would watch that. I would definitely go.
I know. I would
definitely be the sort of person that's like, oh, pop your email in here and we'll let you know when tickets are available. I would definitely be that person like...
And then we've got my end-on theatre show about cross-generational love of motorsports with the Le Mans 2006 thing in the background. So how are we going to smush these together?
Okay, I think I have an idea.
I'm nervous. Continue.
So, I'm just going to take this to the one thing I fully understand within car culture, and that is the Fast and the Furious series.
Okay.
And the thing is, you've both seen Fast and Furious films, yeah?
Family.
Yes. Uh-huh. They aren't about cars, they're about family. The pit crew, they aren't just co-workers, they're family.
Right.
Yeah. That's and not what toxic what is whatsoever. Yours about, Jem, but cross-generational love of cars, and in many ways, family. The link here is family.
Okay, continue with say more words.
I've got to be honest, that's as much as I had. I hope the idea would be here by now. I don't know. Fast and Furious Live already exists, so I can't just say that.
I mean, we could. We've broken all of the rules so far anyway.
We've also, both mine and Sean's ideas involved performances at actual racetracks. And yours was also site-specific, Jem.
Yeah.
In your ideas. So I think, what about a touring show that goes around the racetracks of the UK and it's a show about electric cars and family?
Oh, hang on. We could sort of do that where it's like Joe's Formula One race weekend is basically built on Friday practice, Saturday qualifying, Sunday race, right?
Yeah.
Touring show. Yeah?
Yeah.
We don't need to say it's Silverstone if we've got Joe's show because we've already got all of the cars. So we don't logistically we've got them. We can move them wherever. So
come on, say that again.
Logistically.
Say chassis.
So this might sound crazy. The performance is set over like a race weekend, like a fictional race weekend, with the big race is Joe's performance on the Sunday. We have your sort of performance, sort of like it's the mechanics, it's their family, and you can go to the garages where you've got the cars ready, and like that where you sort of like on the Friday you find out about the crew, on the Saturday you find out about the car, you can go to the pit entry, you can go to where the pits are, and sort of see these little performances that are happening, and they all build up together to the big crescendo on the Sunday where we have Joe's big race. So we basically have your sort of thing on like the Friday or maybe the Saturday morning, my sort of thing where it's like, oh, it's sort of like, again, sort of your sort of thing again, and then you have the big event on the Sunday.
So Metallica plays as our interlude.
It's a weekend of events, almost like a festival.
Yeah. But it tours racetracks, so you still have,
And the Thursday night, for people that arrive early, we'll see performances from Those Damn Crows, Sepultura, and Rob Zombie.
And we can also put, like, it's a continuous endurance like performance of music in between each of the shows. The music is just made out of the sounds that engines make.
Yeah, it will work really well because maybe like the Hoosiers come on stage and you're like, you know, they've only got one song, so I'm going to go see the theatre a bit.
Sean is so out of his element as soon as I brought metal into the mix that he's thrown in Hoosiers. Are you just going to recap the entire lineup for our first year, Mabel?
I'm gonna introduce Sean to Ghost.
Miss Dynamite, Top Loader, The Hoosiers, Zane Lowe DJ set. Don't forget.
How do you remember these things? You know what I mean? I've only got a couple of songs. But then we have the people who'd like done Dancing in the Moonlight.
Yeah, Top Loader.
Top Loader. Joe, the music I listen to is like People Who Are Dead and musicals. Heather's the Musical. great soundtrack.
Yeah. Fun fact about that, by the way. I managed to basically get there of Hoosiers started their set with I can't remember whether they started it with like Worried About Ray or their other song. But either way around it was. They basically had like two or three big songs and they started the set with one of them and then they saved the other two till the end. So I basically managed to see the first song, left, did some other stuff, got back in time to hear their other songs I'd heard of.
And Joe, talking of the Heather soundtrack, if you've had big fun, you can follow OFITD on linktree.com/OFITD, where you'll find our website, our Instagram, our Twitter, our Facebook, and basically all of the feeds, the stuff we do, so you can stay updated there. And if you want to follow me and see that stuff that I do, who knows? Oh, I win Rocket League sort of things, and it's really cool, and I tell people. If you want to see that, it's still Shawnee B on Instagram. Yes. And if you want to follow... Who do I normally go to? Gemma? Gemma second? Yeah, if you want to follow Gemma. What's Gemma up to? I don't know. Is there a way of finding out? Hey, Gemma, is there?
There is. Go to Instagram, type in OFITD_JEM. So OFITD_GEM. And you'll find basically everything I do. I link to a lot of other accounts, like the OFITD account. So you'll go there. You'll find everything. It's fine.
Yeah. And do you know what, guys? I forgot to say, like, share, and subscribe, and hit that bell icon, and hit that so hard that you can press it that hard, you're going to go somewhere else, and that somewhere else is where you can find Joe.
Ooh.
Do you want to know where you can find me online, Sean?
I think that was an all right segue to do that. Yeah.
You can find me at Not Joe Ronchka. That's NotJoeRaczka. And you can find me there on most of the social media platforms. But to be honest, don't bother going to my Twitter. I'm not going back there now that Daddy Elon's taken over.
Yeah. Oh,
who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you know what?
Me!
I'm trying to think of another song from Heathers that would work in a segue.
Sean, abandon segue. We've got to defuse the bomb that is Joe talking about Twitter. So Joe, instead of talking about Twitter, what's next week's article?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Jim, because I put into the randomizer on the online encyclopedia to find out what next week's article was. And if you wanted to really prevent me talking about Twitter too much, you know what you could use to do so, Jem?
A hammer?
Next week's article, because we're going to be talking about mobile phone jammers.
Oh.
Hang on, really?
A mobile phone jammer or blocker is a device which deliberately transmits signals onto the same radio frequencies as mobile phones, disrupting the communication between the phone and the cell phone base station, effectively disabling them within range of the jammer, preventing them receiving signals and or transmitting them.
Okay. Joe, scroll down quickly. Does it have a how-to?
I already know what my pitch is. My pitch is every theatre should just have one.
Yeah.
I can tell you, it basically gives you a little more information about what they do, and then it gives you the legal information surrounding them for each of the major countries.
It gives you some information about what a mobile phone jammer does.
Yeah, it explains further. Basically, a mobile phone jammer jams mobile phones.
Cool.
Yeah. Then there's a lot of stuff about which countries they're illegal in. Spoiler alert, it's a lot of them.
Fair enough. People like their mobile phones, clearly. They don't like landlines anymore.
But hey, if that sounds like your jam, listen in next week.
Oh, because it's jammer. Got ya. Bye.